if you like, allowing two or three out-breaths to be a little bit gently longer. The gentle and natural falling out of the out-breath. The part of the mind that maybe wants it or wants things to be different. Place of lack. And the part of our minds that are open and in intimacy with what is already. And the body that is already here. Already in intimacy, moment to moment. With what is visible and invisible. If we saw a traveler or pilgrim walking along slowly and dusty and quietly, we may be moved to offer a drink of water. Suggestion of opening the eyes for a while, especially when things are feeling more disjointed or dry, and just letting the eyes rest on a texture that feels what they would call safe, what I would call yummy. maybe to practice in a way that even though our pockets may be full of dust, surprises and secrets and programming, past, there's also the possibility of maybe somewhere way down in here that also feels deeply okay. The original word smriti or sati means remembering. And it's, of course, not about remembering the past. Another kind of remembering. Another kind of coming back together. Gathering inwardly. Not expecting what to find, but gathering anyway without any reason. Or if the reason could be that going outward to try to get fulfillment hasn't worked. Honestly, unknowing how. Body's continuous, ongoing stream of sensations, warm, cool, etc. Like sparkling stars. Here a flash of pressure, and there a flash of cool. Dropping the memory of the body. And how these flashes of sensations help us discover our readiness to feel. An ongoing continuity of receiving or awareness, receiving the flashes, the blips of cool, warm, heavy light, sound. of space. All happening by itself. Here and gone, like writing on water. No matter how relaxed we get. The precision of our receptivity continues, despite ourselves. Something can even notice that, oh, I was distracted. I was thinking about that and then that and then that. Resting into that continuously available clear lake of already here. Quickness, precision, and uneffort of the receiving of sound and body can help locate us in a different layer of ourselves, of our mind, that already receiving, already clear, patient. Maybe even cheerful, already awareness. So can clearly receive the experience of impatience, of unclarity, of grumpiness, of joy. By kind of testing, yes, there is an already awareness going on. And gradually, sometimes allowing ourselves to hang back and hang out and let that do our work. An awareness that can also already catch the sense of me and my commentary and conversations about and with myself. Letting it all be and staying simple. Breath, ground, sound, breath, breath in the lower belly if you're not sure. But sometimes that staying with the body sensations of breath or ground or back or lower belly brings us inward in a way that we can hold on much more loosely or not at all to the body sensations after a while. There may come a sense of quietness that we would not like to move a millimeter. Or a kind of underground stream of happiness slightly starts to trickle or pour in. Or just a sense of being a little bit bigger than the body, an expansiveness or roundness may sometimes come about. And there is often a subtle or intense pleasure with that. And it can become the new absorption with the sense of body or breath, ground or sound being more distant for a while. These more subtle states, being more subtle, we're usually more easily distracted, and just so simply a rhythm, perhaps, of a little quiet and then the mind is distracted. Energies go haywire. The body feels restless or whatever. And then the simple breath in the lower belly or whatever your place is absorbed in, whether it's coming back to the breath in the belly or coming back to the sounds, or through the breath in the belly or the sounds, falling into a more quiet, expansive, or grounded, more home-like place. Place you'd love to live, or through the deep wish, the heart singing inside you. Our remembering not so much important to stay keeping hold of. Dropping inwardly to what else is here. creating something, but just what else is here? Deep okayness, perhaps, or big mind, aliveness. A living quality that seems to come out of nowhere. Not making it up, not assuming that you don't have it also. Not assuming that it's a thing to be had. Too close, too deep, too subtle. And too wonderful. For the little mind to have it. Too easy. Already here. Everything in our experience is a way in. And what can be so helpful in making us more slippery, more likely to fall in, is understanding our experience as being less personal than we thought. Whatever you're ashamed of, we've all also experienced. Thank you. the simple practice of noticing thinking as thinking. Movements of thinking and the big loud ones. Of being untrue, inaccurate, interference in our love affair with what is. there be peace. When you have that thought, what happens in your body? Where? And are those sensations of this here and here familiar from other times and situations? Do you remember a peak situation, like where that was very strong or most strong or noticeable? So maybe like leave the mind open in case a situation where that came really strongly, that this here and here, just it could come to mind and that could be a helpful factor for the unraveling. And I agree, like, that the trying to always relax it is, feels not so effective. I'm drawn to a sense of your feet in terms of that experience of deep rest that you've tasted a couple of times, and I'm even more so I think that, like, slowly let's continue working with that. But also I'm even more interested in something that you also said the other day about, okay, maybe it's not just about that deep rest. I had the privilege of having someone on a retreat some years ago who had a really severe sleep disturbance. And I don't know how literally true what he was saying, but he reported not having slept for weeks and came on a deep rest retreat. That's courage. And So just the kind of conversation that we had about what is a kind of deep rest that matters even more than that really important and so good, more literal deep rest. And so I would suggest that if there's less focus on that deep rest experience that is true, like, and that you had a couple of times, and one time that was painful, and more towards the giving up that you described the other day. What if it's not about getting that comfortable? Yeah. So, even so. And I'm not saying that this situation is the most supportive or appropriate for you. So it's like, whatever happens, it's important. And also, just as part of that being all about the migraine, if there's somewhere something that's not, that doesn't have a migraine, and that can also, that helps feel a little bit where that being all about having a migraine is contributing tension, and when it's like being so all about the migraine that can release, like, do you know what I mean? With any difficulty, we so easily kind of crash into ourselves, our own, like, such good intentions and energy towards wanting to deal with the migraine, and then that contributes to the migraine. And if I go, like, wait, I really want to, what I would really love, would love release from the migraine, and really getting back into and behind that, I would love to be free of the pain. And so it's a really hard, and it doesn't have to be a total shift. So, like, even a little bit can help a lot, or it helps that little bit that's worth. Also, what you're experiencing and describing is so much what's relevant for all of us. And so when we talked about the shift yesterday, and I said, okay, we'll talk more about that tomorrow, that's the shift. And I call it the amoeba shift. They call it the holistic shift. But it's sort of that it hurts can usually brings out first the fight, and then either it's so hard that we can't stand even the slightest increase in pain through our own fighting, and so we have to stop fighting. Or usually it's not such a clear and strict Zen master as you have. And so other ways that we start to get tired of hurting ourselves from the fight, from the place of lack. And then the trust, or one word is trust, another is like we start to recognize that the natural, deeply natural, that it hurts is some kind of different kind of orienting response. And it includes an acceptance that things are sometimes painful in a non-personal way. And the not taking personally is part of that shift. And then the orienting is that I would love to be free of pain while fully accepting the pain. By fully not fighting the pain, I can say. Because part of would love to be free of pain is the not fighting. And that's your experiential, like, the fruitfulness of your awesome pilgrimage so far. And so just like the tiny, like, little drop into your awesomeness. And the letting go of that hope that, oh, maybe I'll be so awesome that the headache will leave me. Or the bees will stop bothering me, or some, you know, the weather will change. We'll make rain or something. So just in just more general way of saying this thing that I call the amoeba shift is, instead of my energy getting into, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want you. It's like, yes, I do want.
Hmm.
So, can I add something?
I feel like that is so good and also leads to the more, even more slightly suggesting to the body to recover its harmony, which is also the body-mind, to even more subtle, and to even less technique or less doing, less tracking, less worried. Less awake in that alarm way, and more trusting that, yeah, it is inherent, and it is a treat, and afterwards it looks like it was a plan, but in the middle of it, I think, doesn't feel at all like a plan, except for a kind of joy or pleasure or juice or fit or non-friction. And so when I, seeing people's bodies start to unwind sometimes, I always remember one time, I don't often open my eyes during a meditation, but sometimes like today I felt like, let's just see how is it going here with my physical eyes. And one time I did that, I didn't even think, let me look. It just, my eyes opened and I looked to that corner of the hall. And there was one person, lying still, as many people might during a meditation. And the person next to her in the corner was was like over the other woman. We didn't have and I did manage not to laugh out until afterwards. And I did talk to the one who said, maybe it would be good to do some of your practice in your own room. And maybe like not enter somebody else's airspace. And that same retreat and that same unwinding person one morning woke up without back pain for the first time that she remembered in her life. And I think it was maybe the same retreat that it was her first conscious experience of, it was either liking herself or feeling at home with herself or loving herself, something like that. So just that when it's what we have available, that little bit helping the body to fix itself kind of thing, but the less we're involved, I think, and the less that the attitude is that I'm fixing something that's wrong, it's the more sort of magical and also deep. So it's not just like, yeah, so what? I fixed my body. So what? In the big, long view. Letting the body unwinding, enjoy being part of something, a bigger party. And also then, whatever is going on in the body is not some kind of sign that I'm spiritually defective. And I think it's really helpful to remember the actual lifetimes of
those actually admirable people who eventually did die. And like the teacher of my teacher, Ramana Maharshi, had cancer, you know, and the tumor just there on his arm. And also that ever since his, one of his major experiences, his body shaking. And in our outward focus, like presentation focus culture, that would be unacceptable. And he just said, if a big elephant enters a small tent, what do you expect for the shaking? For the shaking, that was his understanding. Well, that's really all. Yeah. It's one possible outcome. So it's more like how wonderful that the body unwinds itself sometimes.
Actually to the present. It's not like I would, only if that were to be true. It's like I already do. And I also so that's one element I would love you to speak to. And the other is, if you could parse love, yearning, and desire there, and when, what your instruction is with regards to those.
It sounds like a Dharma talk. A Dharma talk for the afternoon. Rather than like, da-da-da, no. But I love that you use the word parse. Because in Hindi, which is like where I would be if I could be in the Hindi geography, it's related languages, and parsna, to parse, is to give out food, like here's your big pot, and serving the food on the plates. And I think that's a good way to think about parsing love, yearning, and desire. Parse is like to distinguish, we can say, like to tease out the differences, clarify, unpack, maybe. Yeah? You're the PhD student. I haven't lived in an English-speaking culture for most of my adult life, so. I'm not really the dictionary. How would you say parse?
Yeah, distinguish. Separate this from that, especially when things are similar.
So just for now, as a practice, when we talked yesterday about knowing as feeling, and we've been talking about, okay, there's the emotional happiness and there's intuition, but in the intuition there can be that pleasant feeling of shifting into alignment. So the pleasant feeling of shifting into alignment, of letting go of an inaccurate belief system, assumption, shame, etc.
the relief of coming home around there, I would say let's practice with that. So the shift from trying to fix my body to enjoying, allowing this mysterious, wonderful way that the body might, when allowed to, when it has permission, it might unwind. And there might even be an innate timing that I can trust of like, okay, pause, digest, and then a little more literal, physical, unbinding, and then another pause, and coming into our rhythm, coming into our unbinding, unwinding, coming out of jail, the pleasant feeling of that. So another way to think about practice would be whatever helps to be happily still, or whatever helps to enjoy the quality of stillness as a beginning for going deeply. And then in the happy stillness, whether it's a quality of stillness in movement or an unwinding, or a quality of happiness that comes when stillness allows a shift, which is a kind of movement, but it's a shift into in deeper, into more true, honest, accurate, transparent, authentic contact with life or aliveness. The happiness has a quality of resonance. The honesty might have a quality of resonance. The transparency might have a quality, nakedness, quality of resonance. And the way the resonance, you could say, feels good or feels fitting, instead of the words love, yearning, desire, that it feels good. And it feels good sometimes in a way that's disturbing or confronting or scary. And so, even so. Experientially work with for a few hours, and then we can see what happens. So, like the shedding of beliefs and assumptions, shoulds, shouldn'ts. And then the way that leaves room that feels like an opening or a discovering of space. And then stillness in the space, and the wind comes through, or a resonance. And in that space or wind or resonance, there might come these really specific steps, like, okay, now this would be helpful. Intuitions / inspirations. Now this specifically would be fitting and not exciting and not fancy, and so, or it might even feel silly or foolish, or, but it wasn't in the book. She didn't say that. And then the next step of the inherent treatment.